Well, good evening. We are making our way around summer. Summer series is like probably past midway, I think, now, you know. But Faithful Wednesday people here, which I love. Love seeing you guys here. And I hope you guys are getting blessed, understanding that our God is a very, very generous God. And the things that He gives to us, He gives beyond measure. Tonight, I'm going to be talking to you about wisdom beyond measure. And will you please turn with me to James chapter 1? We'll start there, James chapter 1. Our God is such a God that He doesn't just give us up to our need, but He always has more than we need, and I love that about Him. Wisdom is something that we all need, amen? We all need wisdom. It's James chapter 1, verse 2. I'll read it with you guys, and then we'll pray. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you tonight, Lord, as we get into your word. Lord, we ask that your spirit, Lord, would reveal things to us that we simply can't know with our own natural understanding. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, to understand these truths about you and how you created life to work both physically and spiritually. And Lord, thank you that you have this book for us that reveals these things. And so, Lord, may you be glorified as we continue in this. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing that this scripture reveals, this passage of scripture when we're reading it, reveals to us about wisdom is why we need wisdom. Why do we need wisdom? Well, we need wisdom because we're all going to fall, it says, into various trials or various situations that really, guys, everyday life brings. You know, everyday life brings these situations, these trials. And these, what they do is they're going to be testing our faith. Now, what do you mean our faith is going to be tested? Well, in every situation in life, these everyday situations, do you trust God? That's going to be the question. We were singing about it earlier. You know, we're saying, I will trust you. I will do this, right? But that is the question. In this situation, this specific situation, do you trust God? So I love how Jesus used to always say to the disciples, oh, you of little faith. You know, it wasn't that they had this volume of faith that they had to kind of, continually add up like liquid in a cup. It wasn't like that. It wasn't like they just needed a little bit more faith and then it would have happened. It's that they're proclaiming to know this God who's the creator of the universe, and yet there's a storm in front of them. And even though they've been told that they're going to get to the other side, they don't believe they're going to get to the other side. So you can kind of see the conundrum there. You know, they're proclaiming this God who created the very things that they're afraid of. As if God can't control those things, right? And so Jesus says, oh, you have little faith. How do you say that you believe in this God that you describe as all-powerful and you know, altogether good, and yet when he tells you to go to the other side, you don't even believe you're going to make it to the other side, right? And so the same way in our situations in life, the question stands, do you trust God? Do you trust that following God's word will be the best answer for you in this specific situation? And then we begin to apply that to all the various situations and trials that life places us in. I remember years ago, receiving a call from a friend in the middle of the night. Those are the best calls, aren't they? The ones in the middle of the night. And what happened was he had just run out of gas a few blocks from my house, and so he was asking me for help because he was a few blocks away. So he thought, well, I'll just call Joe, you know. And obviously, answering the phone call and hearing that he ran out of gas, I was a little frustrated. And so I just had to ask the obvious question that really isn't a question, but it's just more of a complaint, right? Where I say, how? How did you run out of gas? Like, we all know how that works. How did you run out of gas? But then he began to explain to me. He says, well, you know, my gas gauge is broken, and so I don't really have any way of truly knowing, you know, if I have enough gas or not. So what I've been doing, normally I fill up the tank, you know, I fill it up to full, and when I feel like it's getting halfway empty, I'll make sure to fill it up again. I never try to let it get too empty. But this time, he must have miscalculated. And so he found himself, that's how he found himself in the spot that he was in. And I just kind of thought it was a great illustration for us about wisdom, because it shows us the difference, guys, between knowledge and wisdom, right? The difference is this. It's a very simple thing. Knowledge is information gained about something. If you're taking notes, that's a pretty simple thing to write. Knowledge is information gained about something. Wisdom is using that gained information and applying it to everyday life situations. And so my friend, he had the knowledge that he needs gas to drive his car. He knows that. But he lacked wisdom. He did not apply that knowledge to his everyday life situation and therefore found himself broken down a few blocks away from my house and in need of help. And so it's obvious when you think about this story and you think about our lives, you can really say everyone needs wisdom because of the various trials and situations that everyday life brings. But even more so, we as Christians, guys, we're told that if we use wisdom in our life, that our faith, being tested in trials, it will create a spiritual growth to a spiritual maturity, and all done in an attitude of joy. That's what it's telling us in James chapter 1. That if we apply wisdom to our life, as our faith is being tested in these trials, we will grow, we will mature, and we'll do it in an attitude of joy. And so we, above all people, should say, we need wisdom, you know? So why do we need wisdom? So that when we go through everyday situations in life that test our faith, we will overcome by wisdom, we will grow, we will mature, and experience joy all at the same time. We need wisdom. But this message is not just about that. This message is about how God gives us wisdom beyond measure. And that's so encouraging to me, is that God does. God gives us. And when I say us, what I mean is His people, His sons and daughters. And I say that because this isn't for everyone. This is exclusively for those who put their faith and trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. He gives us wisdom beyond measure. And that's why it says in verse 5, if you look at James chapter 1 and look at verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So if we lack wisdom, guys, this is what's so cool, is that we are specifically told by Scripture to ask God. And then we are told that He will give to all liberally and without reproach. Now, I think it's awesome because, you know, a lot of people tend to wait to the last resort to pray for wisdom. Oh, great, I've tried this, I've tried that. Now I don't know what to do, and so I'm going to cry out to God for wisdom. But instead, guys, may it be our first resort, right? May it be the first thing that we turn to every time a situation arises or a trial comes in our lives, that we would turn to God as our first resort and right away say, well, the Lord gives liberally and without reproach, so let me ask, Lord, give me wisdom in this situation. Give me wisdom in this trial. Now, liberally, that word there used, it means generously. Or you can say beyond measure, since that's our summer series, right? So it goes well together. But generously, He wants us to succeed. See, that's what's awesome about our God, is that He wants us to succeed. And so He will give generously. Now, I'm going to put my wife on the spot, but this is what's so cool. My wife is so hospitable, and whenever we have guests over, and now she has to live up to this, but whenever we have guests over, and for those of you guys who have come over, she always comes home beforehand with these bags of groceries just filled with food, and it's because she wants to show the guests that, you know, because sometimes you get to a house and you sit down for dinner or whatever, I don't know, you kind of come in and they're like, well, here's some water, or here's, not that water is bad, but I mean, you know, you kind of start going, like, oh, I don't think they were expecting us, or I don't think they were ready for us. I feel kind of bad, like I'm a burden, you know, I feel like I'm a burden to them, you know. And my wife so much doesn't want people to think that they're a burden to us, that she goes beyond, right? And so her thought is, we're going to have so much food left over. And I love it because their appetite, our guest's appetite, can never compete with her supply, okay? And I love that because it just fits in so much with God and wisdom. Our need, our appetite for wisdom will never compete with God's supply of wisdom. We'll never think that we've asked too much or that we have a trial way too hard for Him to understand. But no, our appetite will never, ever compete with God's supply of wisdom. He gives liberally, it says, generously. If you ask for $5 and your parent gives you, you know, $50, that's generous, right? That's what God is doing. He doesn't just meet your need, He surpasses it. I love that about our God. And you see that all over Scripture. It also says without reproach. And I like this because, you see, when my kids keep asking, when I'm at a store or something, they keep asking for a toy or they ask for a snack and they ask for this, and I'm just trying to make it through the grocery store or wherever I'm at, and I'm trying to, and they're saying, can I have this? Can I have that? Can I have this? Well, what happens is they actually start to become, using a biblical term, a reproach to my ears, you know? I begin to say, you know what? And I let them know, hey, you know what? Your constant asking has become a constant nagging. And it's a reproach to my ears. Now, I don't say that to my kids, but you know, but you know what I'm talking about in those situations. And what's great is that God is letting us know that no matter how many times we ask, our constant asking for wisdom will never be a reproach to His ears, meaning He wants you to ask for wisdom. He's generous with wisdom, and He wants you to ask. So the Lord says, ask away. Our constant asking will never be a reproach to Him. He loves our asking, and He loves us, and He wants us to succeed. And so He says, ask. And when you're done, ask again. And when you're done, ask again. But then we're given this warning in verse 6. And then after the good things, it gives us this warning saying, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Now, obviously, by this scripture, we can see that God wants us to ask in faith, with no doubting. And then scripture gives us this picture, the picture of a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind. Okay, now, being a surfer, you know, I completely understand what is being revealed here. Because when you're surfing, you're reading the waves, okay? And as the waves are coming in, usually, it's very easy to see the direction that the wave is coming. Usually a wave is a constant force that you can trust. You know, okay, it's going that way. It's going to keep going that way. Nothing's going to stop it. But when the wind begins to blow heavily on the waves, we have this term, we call it, oh, it's very choppy out there, okay? And what it means is that one wave is going straight and one wave is going left, and they're crashing into each other, and it's just this big mess. And if you're out there trying to surf, you don't know which direction to go because the waves are just crashing into each other. You think you catch a wave, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's not a wave anymore because it got filled up by the other one. And it's just a big mess. It's chaos. And when a Christian who knows to trust in God and His Word, but then begins to doubt following God's Word. And they begin to live this, you know, this life where they half-heartedly follow God's Word, but then they also half-heartedly follow their own opinions of what is right to do. Well, that's what we begin to look like, guys. That's what we look like to the world. We look like chaos. We look like a wave that's being tossed around to and fro and doesn't really have a direction, doesn't really know where it's going or what it's doing. We look like we have split personalities to the world. And most of the time, it leads to us failing in the trial where our faith is being tested. We miss out on the maturity, we miss out on the growth, and really, we miss out on the joy. We miss out on the joy. And so we have these lives that are just bogged down. Why? Because we're half-heartedly following the Lord. And so God, He doesn't want us to be double-minded. He wants us to be resolute in our faith in Him. He wants us to trust Him, to know that we can trust Him. He wants us to know that we can trust Him in every situation. He wants to prove to you, but also, guys, He has proven to you, okay? He wants to prove to you, but He also has proven to you that you can trust Him with a whole heart, not a half heart, but with a whole heart. You can actually put all your eggs into this one basket. This is one of those baskets where you do want to put all your eggs into it. It will be protected. In fact, it's the only way that you can succeed in your spiritual walk is by putting all your eggs, by fully being surrendered to God and His Word. And so the question again is, well, do you trust God? Do you trust His wisdom? Do you trust when He tells you to do something in His Word a certain way? Will you follow that? I want to talk a little bit about God's wisdom. If you just go a few chapters into the book, James chapter 3, you can read with me there. It defines God's wisdom. James chapter 3, verse 13. And I think it's just good to know. Gives that confidence to us. James chapter 3, verse 13, it says this. It says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits. It's without partiality and without hypocrisy." So if you take these two wisdoms, right, there's a wisdom that's not from above, and then there's a wisdom that is from above. And really, you can define it kind of as there's a worldly wisdom, and then there's a godly wisdom, a wisdom from the world, a wisdom from the God, right? From God. But wisdom from the world, worldly wisdom, it describes it as being earthly, sensual, demonic. It says that it comes from hearts that are bitter, envious, and self-seeking. And what it produces is confusion and every evil thing. That's worldly wisdom. Now, wisdom from above is defined by this. It says that wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good spiritual fruit. It says that it has no partiality, and it says that it's genuine, that there's no hypocrisy in it. And so I think it's just an awesome, good comparison to do, you know, so that you can see this is God's wisdom. The wisdom that He's giving you is this kind of wisdom. But again, the question is, are you willing to completely and wholeheartedly trust God? Not Oprah, not your friends' opinions, not some self-help book. And I'm not saying that those things are bad, okay? Altogether bad. But I am saying this, that we should only follow, as Christians, we must only follow opinions of wisdom that align with God's Word. If it doesn't align with God's Word, then we should and must disregard it. And there's a lot of channels out there that are giving you opinions. So be careful, Christian. Be careful. We have a Father who knows all things. We have a Father who is the creator of this life, of this world, of this universe. And He knows all things. And He says, I will give to you liberally and without reproach. Just ask. Just ask. Once you settle in your soul that you're going to follow God's wisdom no matter what, it sure does make life easier. You see, the double-mindedness, it goes away, and now you have a gauge to go by, the Word of God. Does what this person or this book, what it's saying, does it line up to God's Word? Well then, yeah, I can follow it. But if it doesn't, I will disregard it. Plain and simple. It makes life easy. It's like, okay, does this align with God's Word? Yes, it does. Okay, great. It's good advice. If it doesn't align with God's Word, then we disregard it. Now, what I want to talk to you about as we kind of finish here is I want to talk to you about how to receive God's wisdom. How do I receive God's wisdom? And there's all kinds of scriptures that talk about this, but I'm going to bring up a few things to you. The first thing, and I know it sounds kind of basic probably, but I think it's important to understand. The first thing is this: you must be saved. If you want to receive God's wisdom, you must be saved. I want us to understand that it's not wisdom in your own mind. It's not wisdom that comes from you. What I'm saying is that the wisdom that you have from God, it's going to be imparted to you through Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual transaction that takes place. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says this. It says, but of God, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. You see, what's amazing, think about this, and I know, I hope it doesn't blow a fuse, you know, but Jesus doesn't just give us wisdom, He is our wisdom. He doesn't just give it to you, He is our wisdom. We must first be saved and start a personal relationship with Jesus, because He will be that which links us to the wisdom of God. It may not make earthly sense, but it's a spiritual truth. Jesus is our wisdom. I've seen people who were seemed to be following the Lord, and they had great advice because they were reading the Bible, you know. And then all of a sudden, years went by, and they stopped reading the Bible, and they stopped spending time with the Lord. And you know what? They weren't that wise person that they used to be. And it was amazing to me how much they could change. Because you would think, you know, like once you get that wisdom, it's going to stay with you. But what I realize is, no, Jesus is our wisdom. If you have Jesus, then you're going to have that wisdom. But it's found in Him. He is our wisdom. And so I encourage you to continue that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing that it's in Him that we have this amazing wisdom from God, where we can understand things that we couldn't understand before. We can see things that we couldn't see before because of God's transformative work in our lives through Jesus Christ, through salvation. Now, the second thing I want to bring up, how to receive God's wisdom, is that we must read God's Word. All that God deemed essential knowledge for His children is found in His Word. And notice that I said knowledge, because wisdom starts with knowledge. And knowledge is found in God's Word. You see, as we daily read His Word, we will gain information about the right attitudes to have, the right actions to follow, the right thoughts to meditate upon, right? Psalm 119, 104 through 105, it says, "Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." It's in His word that we gain the knowledge that we need to understand how to live this life. But by reading God's word, we've gained information, but what is the next step? Well, the next step is that we must meditate upon God's word and then apply it to everyday life. It may sound like it's not important, but I think it's very important. Meditation is brought up some 15 times in the book of Psalms, some 5 times in just chapter 119 alone. So you can say King David was a huge believer in meditation, but let me make it very clear what I mean by meditation. This meditation is nothing like Eastern philosophy, nothing like Eastern spiritualism, where they call you to empty your mind, to not think about anything but just to sit there and empty your mind. No, God's word is exactly opposite. God's word says to fill our minds. It says to fill our minds with the word of God, to sort of regurgitate the things that we discovered as we were reading God's word, to think through what we were reading, what is being said to us, and then to discover how we can apply it to our life. And so if you're just reading the word of God and then going off, well, we're missing a giant step there. No, we're supposed to take time to meditate upon the knowledge that we've gained from God's word and to discover how we can apply it to our lives. It's very important. King David said, "I will meditate throughout the day on your word." We are to be thinking about the word of God, meditating on how it applies to our life constantly. And once we discover how to apply it to our lives, well, then we need to do it. As the Bible says, don't just be a hearer of God's word. That deceives us, right? But be a doer of God's word. We read it, meditate upon it, and then apply it to our lives and become a doer of God's word. Now, in life, you're going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted to follow the famous talk show hosts, follow your friends' opinions, or even your own opinion, but we must remember to trust in the Lord and do not doubt. Trust in Him, and He will give you wisdom beyond measure. He will give you wisdom beyond measure. Now, I want to finish off by talking about a few things, and basically, how do I know for sure? You know, I get this wisdom. I'm reading His word, and how do I know for sure that this is from the Lord? And what I love is that He's kind of given us two filters as we read God's word, and one being the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit dwells in every believer. The moment that you give your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you. And Jesus says in John chapter 16, verse 13, He says, "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come." All right, so that's what we have. We have that promise. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." And so I encourage you, as you read the Word, to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. It's a part of our Christian lives that we must be led by the Holy Spirit. We must walk in the Spirit, and that takes faith. But let me encourage you in this. Always know that the Word of God will never contradict the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will never contradict the Word of God. So for instance, if you all of a sudden get this thought, "Well, man, I think the Lord's telling me I need to go rob a bank so I can get money and tithe to our church," you know? Well, that's not from the Holy Spirit, because that is against the Word of God, right? And I know it's kind of a silly thing, but I mean, that we have to understand that. The Holy Spirit will never contradict the Word of God. And then the other filter that the Lord has given us, and this is, I also think, is pretty important to remember, is our church family. Because there's times when you're reading Scripture that you can get caught up in some weird tangent, some weird belief, because of the way that you're kind of looking at this Scripture or something. You know, sometimes the Word of God, you know, certain Scriptures, you kind of focus on the tree instead of the forest, and you can really get caught up in some weird tangent. And what's awesome is you go up to your brothers and sisters who are also growing, and they'll be like, dude, what are you talking about, man? You are so off right now. Like, here, let's get into this together, you know? Here, let's read this book together. This is going to help. It's going to address that issue a little bit clearer, a little bit more. Let me show you some other scriptures to kind of give you a better understanding of what that's actually talking about, right? And so what's great is that God doesn't just leave us as individual, isolated islands, but He gives us a church family. And I want to encourage you guys with that. Now, I'm kind of preaching to the choir because you guys are the faithful ones here every Wednesday. But let me encourage you in this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Guys, the Bible's telling us that we're supposed to consider one another, and that word, it really means to be examining. Like, we're to be examining each other, and in a good way. Why? What is the purpose? So that we can call each other out on our faults and our flaws? No. So that we can stir each other up to love and good works. And so we need to know each other. We ought to know each other. We need to be personable and open and genuine with one another, and be stirring each other up to love and good works. It says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Even today, we have people all the time saying, oh, well, we don't need church. You know, I'm saved and I have Jesus. I have the Holy Spirit. I don't need the church. And yet the Bible clearly tells us, no, you need the church. It's a part of a healthy spiritual walk, is to have a church family, to have people that can hold you accountable, that get to consider you and stir you up to loving good works that you get to be a part of. And it says that we gather together, we assemble together. Why? To exhort one another. And it says so much more as you see the day approaching. That means like every day that goes by, we're getting closer to that day, right? And so by reading this, it makes it kind of clear that we should be exhorting each other more and more and more as the day is approaching. As the coming of the Lord is approaching, we should be encouraging each other more and more and more. And so I just encourage you that, you know, because I think it's awesome. We all need God's wisdom for everyday life trials and situations. God wants to give us wisdom beyond measure. And so let's not hesitate to ask, to read, to meditate, and to apply. And by doing so, we're going to grow, we're going to mature, and we're going to do it all in the joy of the Lord. Amen. Now I'm going to ask the worship team if they can come up and lead us in one last song. But let me just say this last thing. Trust in God's Word. You know, trust in the Holy Spirit. Learn to listen to Him. Learn to hear His voice. Learn to walk with Him. And be genuine. Be real with your family, your church family. Because we want to help you. We want to pray with you. We want you to pray for us. And we want to be with you through all those crazy things that life brings. And we want to encourage you and help you in all that stuff until we finally see our Lord face to face on that great and glorious day. Amen. Amen.